Welcome to the How I Got Here podcast. We all know that each person carries within him a story of how he got to the place he is today, to what he's doing today, to where he finds himself waking up, in what country, in what profession. And on the surface, it may seem like, ooh, he was born into it, or ooh, his parents told him what to do. But I think that every person really comes with a story of their own. And in this podcast, my goal is to uncover that story and to share with you, my dear listeners, the ups and the downs and a little bit of the fabric of who this person is and what he did to get to where he is today. Because sometimes it's not the final result that makes the story so great. Sometimes it's the journey itself. And that's what I'm here to share with you. Enjoy, Hannah Rachel. This week, I had the opportunity to interview Gedalia Fenster, who is one of my favorite speakers. He is like, it's like going to like an event when you go to Gedalia Fenster. So he speaks every Tuesday in Florida at the Lighthouse Project in Aventura. And I caught him just for like 15 minutes to kind of hear like how he does it, how he speaks, the style of his speeches. When you watch him, he's always like very like body language and like, you know, this is like, you know. So it's like a combination of Tony Robbins, self-help, and breast love, and it's all in one. And I'm really excited because he told me he's coming out with a book soon. And not only that, he also gave me like his tips on like how he starts his day and his whole style of how he juggles everything and just small practical tools. So I'm really excited to share this interview with you, and I would love to hear if you have any feedback or any questions. Enjoy. Okay, so first of all, thank you so much for taking your time, Gedalia, to sit with me tonight.
Anytime.
I've been following you for actually quite a while, and I find you really inspiring.
Thank you.
Just because I look at you as like a rabbi, and lots of people, like when they think of Gedalia Fenster, they preach your work, and that's something that people normally do with rabbis. Or so I was just curious to know a little bit about like, what's it like for you to be considered such a leader that has such an impact, but technically with credentials, you're not a rabbi,
no,
right?
No, I'm absolutely not. No, I'm not a rabbi. No, I mean, being in the addiction industry and obviously having to, you know, try to save people's lives, I try to get, you know, the best material, what, you know, what can help them, what could change your state, you know, one overdose can kill somebody. So I really, really try to work on key strategies and whatever I can do possibly to get people into change their mindset. So I just, you know, I usually, a lot of the stuff I've learned Reb Nachman's teachings for 20 years. So I just apply those tools to very now mindset, instead of, you know, knowing the urgency of an addiction and knowing the urgency of somebody's, you know, God forbid, you know, can die from an addiction. I'm very hands-on and always want new information and basically a new way of teaching.
Yeah, so instead of focusing on the credentials, you're just nurturing yourself with like more knowledge constantly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just in order to give, in order to help people and see what basically people are suffering and what tools we can give them to change.
Yeah. How did you go from like just speaking to speaking publicly? Yeah, how did you get to this place?
People asked me to do it publicly. It just happened by mistake, and it just ended up taking off. Yeah.
You're kidding. What was the first time that happened?
It actually happened 3.5 years ago here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did they say?
I want you to give a class here. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm not into it, but one class, and the next thing you know, we recorded it, and then it just took off. They had no intentions of doing this publicly and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And today you're giving 4 classes a day.
We're giving a lot. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. In the rehab. Exactly. A lot of classes.
That is a lot of classes. Yeah. What I like about your classes, actually, it's really funny. Like even the way you promote yourself with your posters, it's like almost like a superhero, like, you know, like Travolta.
I don't want to be, again, I'm not a rabbi, and I want to relate to people that are not religious also want to relate to anybody. It's not just doesn't have to be, you know, this look will attract more people than the stereotype of.
No, and I like that. And I like that. It's almost like you're going to this, like, almost like a nightclub where you're going and there's like the DJ who's like, you know, like, it's like Dahlia, you know? Right. So it's very different from like most of the other events. It's like you turn it from just like a speech to like an event.
Correct.
Like something that's more eventful.
Sure.
So yeah, tell me more about, so now you're giving 4 classes a day. You're also running this rehab and you do business. How do you do all these things?
It's given to me from above. Yeah, it's just it's a lot of discipline and a lot of grace from God, really. You know, again, it's you know, my business is very fulfilling that, you know, God gives you the right things to say if you have a good intention. He just gives you the right words and he puts you into the right teachings.
For sure. And also, like, when you're teaching, you're teaching around like an hour at a time. How do you remember everything that you're going to say for a whole hour?
Right. I have the concepts and I see the crowd, I see the flow, and it just sometimes I just go to wherever the energy I feel and what I have to speak about, depending on who's here. It usually sometimes the class will change on certain individuals and how, what they need to hear.
Yeah, but like what I'm saying is, like, when I come into one of your classes, like I was sitting here now for like a whole hour, and like you start out with what, I'm trying to think how you started out, but like one thing,
emotions, right,
motions, and one thing literally leads to another, like, and everything sounds good. Like also the things that you say, it has like a rhythm to it. So like, do you make yourself like this piece of paper here?
I'll take some notes.
Yeah.
And then basically I'll go on the concepts.
So can we look at what you did here?
Sure. This is just a little cheat sheet.
The great reward for struggling mom. Okay. So
yeah, those are just bullet points.
I'm just gonna show.
Yeah. Just bullet points and.
Okay, so from expectations to personally seeking control.
Yeah, I spoke about 4 different types of thoughts.
Yeah.
4 types of states.
Yeah.
This is Ma, this is Bittel, this is Dal to the Hay, and Azamra. And basically explain, you know, 4 different types and what area a person's in based on where he is.
Yeah. I like this. I guess like when you see these keywords, you're able to build on them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
Exactly.
Also, before you start one of your classes, I see you like with all your books and like you're like, what are you, you're refreshing your knowledge in your mind?
Correct. Yeah, just a touch up. I know the stuff, but it touches, you know, just to remind, etc.
So when do you have time to like learn new stuff if you're constantly talking and constantly giving away your Torah?
It's a fight. It's not easy. Usually in the mornings.
Yeah.
I wake up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
You're kidding.
That's the time. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of, thank God, God has given me a lot of strength.
How do you have time to exercise? Do you exercise?
I make time for that also.
Yeah.
Sure.
What do you do?
I do. I work out with a trainer every day.
Really? Yeah. Every single day?
Every day. You're kidding. Sure.
So 6 days a week.
6 days a week.
Wow. So what kind of stuff do you do with him?
No, he's just, I would do basically, you know, CrossFit style.
CrossFit.
Yeah.
Oh, so like you have different exercises,
working
with different muscles.
Correct.
What about running?
No running.
No, you don't like running?
No, it's not for me.
Really?
No, I like more CrossFit, engaging, you know, squats, stuff like that.
I find running very spiritual, actually.
It is very. I mean, you get into that runner's high. It's very good to meditate. But what I want to do is I really want to tone up, and it's a different style. Yeah, I was never really into the running that much. But once you get into a runner's high, it's a tremendous feeling.
Yeah. For me, I was designing modest sports bra.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So for me, like when I'm in running, it's like a total spiritual state.
Sure,
where I'm connecting to Hashem. That's like my Hitbodedut time. It's like when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, thank you, Hashem, for my legs. Thank you, Hashem, for this. Thank you, I'm single. Like, thank you for all these things. Like, like you say, you
get
thank Hashem.
You get into an amazing state.
Yeah.
You work out.
Yeah, no, it's very good. So keep up with it. I really think it's also like probably one of the keys for your huge success. I was curious to know, what is it about Breslev that attracted you, and like instead of like Chabad, for example?
Correct. Well, Breslev is very on point. It's very direct, and it's either you like it or you don't. Like, it's very on point. It's a lot of fixing a lot of things, where it's either something you do or you don't. of course, there's the happiness and the joy and the and helping you with the struggle, but there's a lot of discipline with some areas that I don't know if Chabad teaches those, you know, like the spiritual organ for man and all that.
Spiritual organ for man.
Like the spiritual purity. Rav Nachman spoke a lot about spiritual purity and discipline over food and discipline over money. So I like the discipline aspect of Breslov. I think anything with discipline, at the end of the day, you'll succeed. When there's no discipline, everything goes crazy.
So that's what Breslov focuses on, and discipline?
There's a lot of discipline in how you eat and mindfulness on how, you know, anything you do, how to make money. It's just, Breslov is so wide, so much information, but it's also very practical. And it has a side to the practical business and the practical eating. And yet it also has a side when a person is completely broken in his life and he doesn't know where to hang on to.
Right.
So Rav Nachman gives us that when you're running to succeed, and he's also telling you how to hang on when you're going through tremendous darkness in life.
And you spoke about that too today. You said, like, when you're going through darkness and you don't know what's going on, you just have to relinquish control, go into Bitul, and close your eyes.
And close your eyes, exactly. Pretty much. Just so you could see that what's hurting everybody is the constant control and worry and failure to surrender.
Yeah.
This is the root of the problem.
I think something that Corona has actually taught us, one of the silver linings, is really how to let go of control.
Correct. Some people, it's made them worse.
Yeah, you think?
But when you realize that you have no control over anything, you should recognize, you know, more people get spiritual, but you could see it's done the opposite also.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, like, give me an example of, like, discipline that you have in your own life regarding money when it comes to Breslov.
Right. Well, I'll always go into a business deal in order to give charity. Uh-huh. I'll be careful, like, not to get too greedy and not to let my ego get in the way. To always link something, always spiritually. Mm. Because what happens is you're in the business world, you're in a very high competitive world.
Yeah.
That the ego can engage and greed and worry. But if you always have charity behind it, it sort of calms you down and gives you proper perspective.
Right.
You basically are able to infuse godliness in everything you do.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, very related to what you were saying about going into a relationship from a place of giving, not from a place
of
taking.
Same.
So it sounds better. Like, what do you think is, like, your biggest struggle when it comes to really discipline? Like, what areas do you feel like Gedalia Fenster is really struggling?
Taking things personal.
Oh, yeah?
That was emotional.
Can you give me an example?
Being a Scorpio. I'm a Scorpio. So too emotionally, sometimes taking things too personal or emotions. I would say that's the type of thing.
Yeah, what I like about your talks also that you give lots of practical examples of what's happening today.
Yes.
It's really funny because, like, you're married. Correct. And I hear lots of the examples you're giving, and I'm like, I'm still a single woman, and, like, I hear that lots of these examples really apply to my life as well.
Right.
Like, so I think it's really impressive that maybe you're able to, like, disconnect from where you are in life and use your words to really reach out to people of different
Correct. I've had a lot of experience with singles and what they're going through, the struggles they're going through.
Yeah.
So we're trying to give people, you know, the right advice. It's a chaotic, in the shidduch market, it's chaotic.
Yeah.
It's chaotic.
Tell me more about
It's just chaotic. It's you know, the guys are looking for, unfortunately, the guys are getting too distracted on non-Jewish girls and that. And the girls want to get married, and sometimes they have expectations, and they're nervous, they want too much certainty. A lot of fear. There's a lot of fear. Did I pick the right one? Did I not pick the right one? You know, it's an area where people have to let go and have less judgment.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have much more success.
You know, what I experience a lot is girls getting into relationships with people that they're not really, like, physically attracted to them. So what's your tip to that kind of a scenario?
Right. Everybody has their own thing, you know? You know, for one person they can handle, other people they can't handle that. They need the attraction part.
Do you think attraction is something that you actually build, or do you think you need that initial attraction?
As a guy, I think I needed it, obviously. You have to have some kind of attraction. I don't think that's something you can, but other people tell you no.
Right. I liked your example tonight. You were saying when you're mad at someone and then you see them in person and then you ignore them instead of actually walking up to them and being like, hey, let's work this out. I'm hurt by what you did. Like,
right.
So, and then at a certain point you said, okay, fine. You're in a bad situation. Just let go of it and walk away. So like, how would you recommend to really get out of that situation?
Right. Well, the problem is when you're holding energy that somebody hurt you, you're really holding the energy. So you're really the one that's affected. So when you recognize that, you recognize you need to feel better. If you feel better by forgiving them, remember, you're always holding other people's energy.
Right.
So how does that benefit you by holding on to it?
Right.
So it's thinking smarter that why am I hurting myself?
The thing is, it's so natural when someone hurts you, we have a little bit of a healthy ego.
Correct.
And they disrespect you and then you see them in person, you don't want to talk with them. You don't want to look at their face.
Correct. This is being superhuman, but recognize it's not recognizing we took it. Why would you take it so personal? You understand? Sometimes we take things personal because we don't feel good about ourselves. So there's always an underlying reason why we take something so personal. And the more we feel good about ourselves, the easier we are able to remedy those situations.
The more we feel good about ourselves.
Correct. Correct.
I like that.
Correct.
So there's a whole self-help industry out there. And I kind of feel like things that you speak about in your classes are also very similar to like a Jewish version of all the self-help. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what do you think of Tony Robbins, for example?
Tony Robbins is amazing.
Yeah.
But there's nothing new that has not been in the Torah. Everything's in the Torah. Yeah. I'm just trying to bring it, I'm trying to change the language to make it practical to people. But it's all in the Torah. Nothing is new.
Yeah.
Nothing you see is new.
When are you coming out with your Torah self-help book?
Soon. God willing.
Oh, yeah?
Soon.
Amazing. Soon. Amazing. Soon. What I like also about your classes is that you keep it very contemporary. Like lots of the classes, lots of the lessons we learn in general in Judaism, like they're first presented to us in a very antiquated manner. Mm-hmm. And then you manage to like break it down under like all these filters of like, grass is greener where you water it. Reason is called testimonial is from the test. Like, right. it's like you have these mantras. So how do you create these mantras?
Because people remember, sometimes they remember one-liners.
Yeah.
Like you just remembered
one-liners. Yeah, of course. So I have a whole list here of these one-liners.
People remember one-liners. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they
something
sink in.
People sink in.
They sink in.
So when the one-liners will trigger something else.
Yeah. Oh, so I was doing this when I was painting tonight. So like painting, like I heard something, I liked it. Right. I really like the one, if a person no longer controls your day or your mood, you're healed.
Correct. So you remember it. It's just like you remembered it. People remember the one-liners.
Yeah.
So I stick a lot of them in there.
But like, how do you come up with these one-liners? Like, how does it translate from like a pasuk that you learn in the Torah into like, okay, when, how does it happen? What's the process?
It's a gift that God gave me. I can really put things in a very, the gift that I've gotten is make things very complicated, very simple. Because you could talk about koach ma, how does that apply to you?
Mm-hmm.
So I related to control. You understand?
Yeah.
I broke it down into control. Because you could talk about koach ma and not understand what that means, unless you,
right.
Oh, it means control.
Well.
Oh, I get it.
True. Well,
people have to understand what they're listening to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not, what do you teach in class for?
Yeah.
You have to be able to teach it to anybody. It has to be, people have to get it.
Right. I guess also maybe when you meditate on things, then you're able to break them down into like quotes, into scenarios.
Also, if you're dealing with people in addictions, I have to talk their language. They have to understand what they're saying.
Yeah. It seems like you're really good with the whole idea of addiction. I was listening to one of your talks. You said you were addicted also to gambling. Mm-hmm. And then now also today you're like with kids in rehab, which also are like addicted to, you know, drugs and stuff. Sure. So what's your theory on addictions?
It's a call for change. It's a deep rooted call for change. It's a spiritual awakening where the person's not growing. And if they see the process properly, they become different people. It's actually a gift in disguise, believe it or not. It's a gift in disguise, it's a blessing in disguise. But because it's so in disguise, many people don't see it. So I try to put it and show them how it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, you're saying when the energy is stagnant, then you're staying in the same
situation.
If you
don't grow, you know, what's the purpose of your existence? Key is growth. growth as a kid, everything.
Yeah. I think today lots of people are really addicted to their phones.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to my phone.
Sure. So again, you have to, everybody wants the new stuff, and we're always addicted to new stuff. But you have to recognize how much you can ruin your imagination. So yeah, so I have also a time where, you know, 10 to 8. Before that, you know, the morning hours are times where you shouldn't really be on the phone.
Oh, really?
You need to develop your, you know, that's the time to pray. That's the time to really work on your imagination. Because if you were to on the phone the first thing in the morning, at night, the imagination's gone. Very hard for you to come up with new things.
So how do you wake up in the morning from an alarm clock?
Yeah.
Which alarm clock? Were on your phone?
Phone, correct.
Really? So, yeah. But you are looking at your phone straight away.
No, phone, but not to sit there and just to wake up, not okay. To sit there and lose 30 minutes on social media and stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure. So what is a typical morning? Let's say you said you wake up at 4.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 4 a.m. you wake up. What does your morning look like?
Morning looks like it would be a Hizbul Didud, prayer, Tikkun Hatzot, learning, mikvah, meditation. I would go to shul around 7, and then I give a class around 8, and then I go to work around 8:30.
Okay, so you're looking at your phone probably from 8.
No, 9:30.
Whoa, so for the first like 4 and a half hours of your day, you're...
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because if I'm looking, I'm not going to be able to create. So it's discipline. I didn't do it always, but when I want to create, I need to be disciplined. That's a magic time for a person has to.
That's a 5.5 hours of not being on your phone since you wake up.
Yeah.
That's like Tony Robbins' equivalent of jumping in an ice bath.
Right. So you it's a pattern. What do I need to see? What, be on my phone 24 hours a day? No. You
don't need it.
9:30 is enough.
And then throughout the day, how often do you look at your phone?
Then I'll, as usual, but I'll have limits where I stop. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I have that morning to do what I have to do, but when you don't get nothing done, and then you're on the phone, and then you go home, and you don't do nothing, that's when you feel terrible. You know, that's the key. You gotta get, when you feel accomplished, you did your thing, then you can treat yourself. But you don't want to treat yourself when you haven't accomplished it.
Right. I'm guessing also, this is something that took you years to develop, right? It's not something you're just like, okay, I'm gonna start this new technique. Like, it's a process,
right,
that you
it's
built.
It's a process, sure.
Yeah, and you also probably noticed that your phone was influencing your mood.
Yeah, it's too much defensiveness and too much reaction mode.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, too much. You're responding to life. You're responding to events. You're responding to threats. Travel. Oh my God, stress doesn't allow you to connect. So you want to limit the stress if you want to connect.
If there was just one tip that you can give to the single people of today in Corona and with the whole craziness going on, what would you
focus on? Becoming the one, not looking for the one. Build your vessel. When you build your vessel, God will give it to you.
Nice.
You build the vessel, will come.
Thank you.
So nice to see you.
You too.
Good luck. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too.
Yeah.